Joshua chapter 1. I believe I got something tonight powerful about breakthrough. This is a breakthrough season. 2010 is a year of breakthrough. 10 is the number of completion in the Bible. And a breakthrough is when you end something and move into something else. How many of you would say, I need to move into something else?
Amen.
Amen. Always something else in God. God's a vast, big God. Amen.
Amen.
And so tonight I want to talk about what will it take to get your breakthrough. I got about four things to talk about tonight. I don't know if I'm going to finish them. I got about 15 pages of notes. This thing was supposed to be little, but the more I got into it, the bigger it got. And you know me. Sometimes I stay on my notes, sometimes I don't. So whatever. Say whatever.
Whatever.
My daughter used to wear a t-shirt when she's a teenager. Says whatever.
Uh-huh.
If you ever had a teenager, you understand what I'm saying. Whatever. Whatever God has. So we want to talk about it. Whatever you talk about becomes a part of your life.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Yep.
If you're not talking about it, it ain't going to happen.
Yes.
My daddy always said that. He pastored 36 years in one church. He said, if the church ain't talking about it, you might as well forget it. If you have a big day and nobody's talking about the big day, it'll be a flop.
Yep.
It's always just the way in your life. What you talk about is what you possess. What you talk about is what is in your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if this is breakthrough year, then we need to talk about it over and over and over and over. Amen?
Yes.
You are on the way here, you ought to tell somebody, I'm going to a breakthrough service. This is my night for breakthrough. You ought to say that on your way. You ought to just keep it before you, because what you talk about is what you possess.
Amen.
You keep telling your wife she's an old-looking old woman, she'll begin to look old. Because your words produce. You know that, right? So we want to talk about breakthrough. Breakthrough is what it's about in this church. Joshua chapter 1, let's read verses 1 and 2. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 2 said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise. I want you to notice that God didn't tell Moses to go pray. We should be people of prayer. Amen. But there are times God will say, go possess it. Get up and go possess it. Say that with me. It's time to get up and go and possess it. Amen. Praying is good. Fasting is good. All that's good. Bible studies are good. But there's sometimes you just got to get up and do it. That's my part of my sermon tonight. You got it already. Amen. Keep your Bible open to the book of Joshua as we go through these four things. What will it take for you to get your breakthrough? Number one, your breakthrough has to be based on a promise. Your breakthrough has to be based on the Word of God. Anytime you have to fight the devil, anytime you have the devil has you backed up against the wall, your fighting tools or your weapons are the Word of God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So you don't fight the devil. You don't get your breakthrough just by hollering. You don't get your breakthrough just by coming to church or paying your tithes. You get your breakthrough when you find a promise in God's Word and then you stand on it. The promise becomes part of you. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil or Satan or the evil serpent challenged Adam and Eve on what God had said. God says to Adam and Eve, he gave them a word and the devil challenged it, because the devil says, hath God said?
Right.
Hath God said? So what the devil wants to challenge you with is not what's going to be your breakthrough. It's not going to be what you're looking for. It's going to be based on, challenge you about what God said about your life.
Yes.
God said a lot of things about our life.
Right.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And you see, you can't, church folk, Pentecostal folk, charismatic believers, cruismatics, whatever you want to call them, have to understand that you don't live off shouting. You live off the Word of God. And the devil's not concerned about your shouting. He's concerned about what kind of promise you're standing on. What is your breakthrough based on? You'd be surprised. Some people want a breakthrough and they want somebody else's wife. Now that's not a good promise. Your breakthrough shouldn't be based on some lustful thing or based on some thing you see somebody else have and you want it. Your breakthrough has to be based on the promise that you find in the Word of God. You'll have no breakthrough without a promise. If you can't find the promise of what you're looking for, ask the pastor, ask these preachers. There are 32,000 promises in the Word of God that applies to us. Not three, not two, over 32,000 promises in the Word of God that relates to our life. And you'll never have a breakthrough without finding your promise. You got it? I heard Brother Hagin say this many, many times. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So you can't have a breakthrough unless it's based on the will of God. A breakthrough is just like a vision. You've got to see your breakthrough. There must be a vision out there. There must be something you're looking for. And that's the Word of God in order to have a breakthrough. I know you don't want to hear this tonight because we think supernatural is just God poofing up like a genie and bam, it happens and it's all over with. It's just like a flash. We want it to be that way. And sometimes God does, by His sovereignty and His power, interrupt our life just like that. But 9 times out of 10, the word supernatural means super and natural. God's got a part and you got a part. And you have a part in your breakthrough. We can shout about it. I can say this is a year of breakthrough. Brother Jeff can get all excited about it. And we can scream and run around and that's fine and dandy and we need to do all that. But it's not going to happen to your life until you get a promise. God's word on your situation. And let that promise become part of your life. See, that's what the devil's afraid of. He is actually afraid of how much we know about the Word of God. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me ask you something. What are you seeing out there before you? What are you seeing beyond where you're at? Well, I thought that was your job, Pastor. No. Scripture we just read said, without a vision, people perish. So if you don't have a promise out before you, something grounded with God, something God says in your life, you don't have any vision out before you. And if you don't have a vision out before you, the Bible says you perish. In other words, another translation says the people run wild. Or the people are not restrained. Or the people do just what they always do. So in order to have a breakthrough, you got to have a promise. That means you got to open your Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's not just to be on your mantle when the preacher shows up or somebody you know that's in your family got the Bible with the dust all over it. No, you need to find out your promise in order to have a breakthrough. Can I hear amen? If you look at Joshua chapter 6. And verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see. So you've got the promise. Here's the thing. We talk about faith, and I preached faith for 29 years. July the 4th, right after that, when I got born again, after almost dying on the pavement, I got my Bible out. I got saved, born again. I slept with my Bible. I began to learn about faith. So that's almost, this July the 4th will be 29 years ago, I started my journey on faith. And I come to realize that faith, where do we get faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I realize that the Word of God contains the faith that I need. In other words, when I find the promise, the faith is in the promise. See, I don't have to feel it, produce it, worry about it. All I need to know is the promise, because the promise is embalmed. You know what embalmed is, right? Your promise is embalmed with the power of God to bring it to pass. Y'all quiet tonight. Y'all tired. Amen. I thought this was good, man. I got happy about it. I got some ammunition. See, I got some ammunition for my breakthrough. I got a word on my breakthrough. And if you don't have a word from God about your breakthrough, you cannot have a vision. And without a vision, you perish. Because the Word of God is like a picture movie. A picture. We call movie theaters picture shows. That's what I grew up. We're going to the picture show, which wasn't allowed in my house, but Brother Jeff done all the picture show business. He used to ride by Rex, and he'd be hanging out them windows when he was 12, 13, smoking. I said, that's old Brother Jeff. It's a picture show. So that's why I call him the most unlikely person to be a preacher. But the Word of God produces vision. It produces images. Have you ever read the Word of God where it seemed like it just jumped off the page? Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people. Like, all of a sudden, wow, I see that. Wow, man. This is good stuff. Well, that's what I'm talking about. The Word, the promise, produces an image that you can see by faith. And that produces power for you to break through. See, breakthrough, to break through something, you have to have strength and power to break through. How many of you, I talk about a lot about the old days. When I turned 61, the old days just appeared, you know, the good old days. But how many of you have ever played Red Rover, send Michael right over? I mean, we used to play with the girlfriends so we could, you know, touch their arms and hold on. We didn't care about who they were sending over. We were just holding arms, you know, that's the way you got near your girlfriend. You know, the breakthrough, it took strength. And, you know, you'd hold them, and if they didn't break through, they had to join up your line, right? And your line got bigger and bigger, hopefully, and you won the game. Breakthrough. You have to have strength. You have to have power. Another definition of breakthrough means to be shattered. And so, I'm telling you, you're not going to get your breakthrough this year without a promise that has power. Because if you could have a breakthrough, if you could have a breakthrough in your life, you'd already have it. So you don't have it because you don't have the power yet. A lot of you, thank God, it's in your heart. We'll get to all this tonight. But it's in your heart. It's in your heart, but it just ain't happened. That's because you ain't really meditated on that thing. You ain't really sought the Lord. You ain't really took time enough to visualize by the spirit of faith that breakthrough is right out before you, right there. I mean, you can smell it, taste it. Faith says it's mine, I have it now. So you got to have that attitude. Come hell or high water, this is your breakthrough year. Amen. Not because we holler about it and we sing about it and we shout about it and it's just something good to talk about. No, it's because you begin to see it. You have vision for it. So I'm asking you, what are you seeing out there? Brother Joe came in, and it's so good to see Brother Joe on the upside. Amen. I love it. But he came into my office and he said, "What are you seeing?" He knows how it works. "What are you seeing?" I said, "What you seeing?" And boy, he gets stirred up. He tells me what he sees. He said, "Ever since you spoke about having that week of service in August that the wind blows, my heart leaped out. I began to weep and cry because he's beginning to see." See, he grew up in a move of God. See, there are some people here that have experienced a genuine, I mean, Holy Ghost meeting.
Yes.
Where the supernatural things of God took place. Some of us were born out of that.
Right.
And we long to see it again. We can't produce it. If I could produce it, believe me. If I thought Brother Jeff could produce it, I'd raise him his salary and tell him, "I give you an extra $1,000 to produce it." You cannot produce it. You can be hungry for it. That's the first step. Come and get it. The Master's calling. Come and dine. The Master calls. Amen. I know I'm a little excited tonight, but that's all right. I got something out. I see something. I see it. You ain't seen. Turn and tell somebody, "You ain't seen nothing yet." What are you seeing? Do you see your breakthrough? Regardless of whatever you're at and whatever you're in and whatever you need, do you honestly see that with expectation? Amen. Do you see your promise of breakthrough? Do you see yourself walking in what God promised you? Do you see yourself on the other side of your breakthrough? I'm going to tell you, until you see it, you cannot possess it. There's not enough power in you to possess it. Your breakthrough begins with a vision. Joseph was a dreamer. Anybody know about Joseph who lived with Potiphar? And everything that Joseph's hand touched blessed Potiphar's house. Joseph was put in a pit, but his dreams, say dreams.
Dreams.
His dreams carried him from the pit to the palace.
Right.
And a dream is a vision.
Right.
What are you dreaming about? What are you dreaming about? Are you dreaming about how bad it's going to be all the time? Or are you dreaming about how better it could be? Do you see yourself in a wheelchair, or do you see yourself up and walking like normal people do? Do you see your marriage all torn to pieces, or do you see it like your marriage is made in heaven? It depends on what you see, what you dream about. Some of you need to dream. Some of you right now in your poverty, in the place that you at, need to go on a Saturday morning, get in your car, and ride into some places and look at some new houses. Oh, here we go. That prosperity stuff.
Amen.
Some of you with a ranky, danky car. I've had plenty of them. I'll talk about some of them tonight. Need to go drive up to somewhere. Go to the BMW place or Mercedes Benz. Park down the road if you have to. Put a suit on. Look like you got some money. And go up there and drive one of them suckers. You don't have to buy it. You choose to drive it. They'd say, do you want to buy it? You say, "I choose not to buy today." But it creates a dream. A vision in your life. So you can see beyond where you're at.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, I don't know how many years ago, 10 years ago probably, and you know, 10 years ago before all this wonderful stuff happened, I mean, we were here and most of the people were from Noonan, And I was preaching faith hot and heavy, and I was talking about the same thing, that you got to see it. You got to dream about it. You got to visualize it. It's got to become a part of your life before it takes place in your life. So I said one Saturday, I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all y'all up to Phipps Plaza up in Atlanta. And we're going to go up there and we're going to look at some diamonds. And we're going to look at some real nice clothes. So I think we had about 28 on the bus, a 30. Remember that? And we went up into that place, that mall. Some of you never been there. You ought to ride up there once in a while. Is it, what do you call it? Is it Phipps? Lenox. Has Lenox. Lenox. You can smell money up there. Lenox. I mean, we broke, busted, disgusted, driving old pieces of things and living in, you know, I mean, it was horrible. We preaching faith and prosperity and all this stuff, and you know, and there just wasn't nothing going on. So I said, well, we'll go just start dreaming. So we took them up there, and I went to the place they sold the diamond rings and Rolexes, and I got the manager off the side, and there was 28 of us, and I said, sir, let me tell you what I'm doing here tonight. I said, we come from a small town, and you know, we've never seen, a lot of these people have never seen Rolexes or big diamonds. I said, would you just show these women the diamonds and let us look at the Rolexes and let us dream a little bit? And you know what that man done? He took out the most expensive rings he had. And then women gathered around. Of course, he watched now, and he put them on their fingers. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, 50,000 on their hands. And then women said, look at that. We just said, wouldn't that look good on you? And I mean, people laugh at you, but that's the way you get your dream. That's the way you get your provision. That's the way, because you begin to visualize. 10 years ago, I put on a Rolex, and I said, my Lord, I'm far from being a Rolex on my arm. Back then, is a man being on the moon. But I stand here today. You know what this is? A Rolex. Given to me. Didn't cost me nothing. A presidential Rolex, if you know anything about it.
Yes, sir.
It got a few diamonds on it. A bunch of them.
Yeah.
You see? What don't get upset with me. You may not want a Rolex. Whatever you want to carry, you can have. Whatever you want. You hear me? Whatever you want. But you got to see it. What are you seeing about a breakthrough? Have you been convinced in your heart that this is a breakthrough year?
Yes, sir.
That God wants you to move past those things that's held you. It's not all about, listen, money's just a very little part about what God has for us. Money don't buy happiness. Rolexes don't buy happiness. I'm talking about Rolex and diamonds just to get your attention. But that don't bring happiness to your life. What is your breakthrough in your spiritual condition? What is it about your health and healing? Your family, peace in the home. My God, peace in the home worth millions of dollars. If mama ain't happy, you ain't got no home. What do you see about mama and the house? And all them little ones in there.
Come on.
Amen. See, we're the most of the time, we're the problem that stops the promise. Because we just can't, the promise has to flow through us. It has to come, be a part of us. See, the Word always, the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus. It's always that way. The Word has to become flesh. It has to become something on you, in you, a part of you before it manifests on the outside of you. That's what they talk about when you got to get it on the inside first. See, that Word has to become everything. I mean, it has to become your life force. It has become part of you. And when it becomes part of you, then it becomes part of your life. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. So your thinking is tied to your seeing. Your thinking is tied to your breakthrough. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking during these times? Do you really think it can get better? Or Monday you think it can get better. Tuesday you might be. Wednesday you come to church. Oh, I think it might be. I believe I can have one. Thursday, I don't know. Friday, wow. Saturday, well, I don't know if I'm going to have a breakthrough or not. And Sunday, you come back. Yeah, man, we're going to have a breakthrough. That's why you don't got one. You're thinking it's twisted. You have to meditate. Attend to my words, Proverbs 4:20 said. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Then they are life to those that find them and help to all their flesh. See, the word has to become flesh and dwell among you. See, I'm preaching something. I know it works. 30 years ago, that little Baptist girl, Pentecostal Baptist girl, Penny. How old is Chad? 31. 30? I just had a birthday message me up. I always make it a year ahead so I know I'm going to live. I'm going on to be 62. I just got 61, 62. 30 years ago. Baptist. We never had no teaching on faith. Never knew nothing about it at all. Never knew anything about faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We knew about the Holy Ghost, buddy. But my daddy preached a sermon on Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did he tell you to write? Did somebody tell you? Okay. Let me get the story straight. So my wife decided we didn't have any children. We've been married almost 10 years, 9, something like that. Everybody's having babies. Everybody was saying, Mike, you ain't no good. You know how that is. All at work said, you just ain't no good. She needs to get her a real man. You know how work people are. But I knew I was. I done got tested, man. It wasn't me. We done went through everything. My wife had all kind of tests and all kind of things any doctor could do and taking fertility pills. You know, wonder we didn't have 10 babies at one time. This was the late 70s, right when it was really taking. We could be on TV. We'd have number 9, 11. We'd be rich, Penny, on TV. All them kids. Anyway, she got in a spirit. That little Baptist girl got in a spirit. I'm going to write down what I want. And she wrote on these things that she wanted a baby. She wanted a child. And I wasn't saved. I went to church. I was a good, you know, I never missed church. I was a preacher's son. I was a hypocrite. I was a silent witness or whatever you want to call them. Really wasn't no witness, but I was more scared of my daddy than I was of God. So as long as my doing right in front of my daddy, I didn't have no problem going on. But I come home one day and on the mirrors where you shave, it's got these little old things. I'm going to have a baby. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteous all the things added unto you. And she, but then I want a son. I want a child. I want a child. I laughed at her. It takes more than that, honey. You know what I mean? Takes more than that. So she just kept believing and kept putting them everywhere. And I tell you what, the proof is in the pudding. Mr. Chad Merritt sprang up just shortly after that. And then come Miss Bethany Hope shortly after that. And then I decided we'd have them tubes tied. Not mine, hers. I'm still a bull. Amen. Ooh. Whoa. Not a steer. What are you thinking, man? That sounds ridiculous. Yes, it does. Sounds ridiculous. But it worked. What was she thinking? What are you thinking about? Do you really think it can be better in your life, in your marriage, in your body, in your finances, on your job, everything about you, your sphere around you? Could it be any better? So you have to have that pregnated into you to birth it out in your life. Glory to God. Are you really open to God doing something exceedingly, abundantly, far more than you could ever ask to think? As we preach that whole year, you got to work this thing. This is part of it. This is how you work your breakthrough. That exceedingly abundantly thing comes only after you let the power of God work in you.
That's right.
Here's the thing. When you promise, when you have a promise of God's word, then you have God. Because God watches over His word to perform it. So when you got the promise, you got God. If anybody be for you, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? No devil in hell is a match for God. Can I hear amen? Isaiah 55:10 through 11 says, just as the rain and snow descends, this is from the Message Bible, just as the rain and snow descends from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for the farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty handed. If your breakthrough is based on the Word of God, God will provide the provisions to bring it to pass. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Our obligation and all that is see it done. See it as a done deal. Period. Man, we put a lot of commas in our lives when we should put some big old periods. Date it. When you get it conceived in your heart, date it. This is the promise I have. It's in me. And I will have it. It's a done deal. Period. 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 So to have a breakthrough, you got to have a promise. Number two, if you're going to experience a breakthrough in your life, there must be a plan. Look back at Joshua chapter 6, verse 3-5. And ye shall compass the city. This is after Joshua got the promise that God would give him Jericho, then God begins to give him a plan. Every promise has a plan. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do it 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. In order to have a breakthrough, you must have a promise, and you must have a plan. Say plan. Your plan is simply the steps that will bring about your breakthrough. The steps that will bring about your breakthrough. Now let's look at this. Look at this. Here is Israel going into the promised land they've been promised by God. God gives them a promise. Here's the land. And then God gives them a plan. And here's the plan. Walk around the city. March around the city. If you read these scriptures, God called these men of war. Can you imagine telling a man of war the way you're going to win this battle is to march around the city, lay all your weapons down, just walk around? That don't make no sense, right, to a common person. But that was God's plan. Here's what I want you to recognize. Sometimes God will give you a plan that don't make sense. Most of the time, it don't make sense. He told Naaman, go down, go dip 7 times in the river Jordan and your leprosy will be healed. He had a problem with it, but thank God the servant didn't.
Right.
Just go on and do what he says. And he did. And on the 7th time he came up whole.
Amen.
See, God will give you. Sometimes God always got a plan, but God will make that plan most of the time where it won't fit your thinking. Amen.
Amen.
That just didn't make sense. March around the city. See, there's a lot of people sitting in this service tonight. They may have got the promise. They may be shouting about it, and they really feel like they'll have a breakthrough. They just don't know when, but they ain't got no plan. No plan at all. You know, God's just going to poof it right before me. Like a genie, rub him up. He says, what do you want me to do? Give me $1,000. Here it is. Boop. Or make my marriage happy. Heal my body. It don't work that way. Say it don't work that way. It does not work that way. So you got, you know, it's our nature as Pentecostal people to get all excited about it and move on. Right? Am I talking to... Pentecostal folk get excited and they just move on. That's our nature. And that's where we miss it, because we need to spend some extra time in that inspiration time, that revelation time on the promise. We need to spend some extra amount of time with God to find out, now God, how are we going to do this?
Right.
See, most of the time we step back and say, now God, how are you going to do all this? When God's saying, no, we're going to do it.
Yes.
Joshua had a plan. I mean, a promise. God gave him Jericho. But then God says, now I give you something, but you going to have to take it.
Come on.
You see, that's where we miss it. We get excited and we move on and we don't wait long enough with God. Tarry's a bad word. Spend some time with God. Until we get a plan on how we're going to get out of this situation.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
A lot of you got a vision on getting out of debt. I mean, being debt free. You got that promise, but what is your plan?
Right.
How are you going to get out of it? You got a vision for peace in your home.
Mm-hmm.
I want a home where my husband loves me like Pastor Mike loves Miss Penny. But what's your plan?
That's right.
I got a vision to be delivered free. What's your plan? Ask somebody, what's your plan? You got to have a plan. Say, you got to have a plan. See, if folk, God knows how. God wrote the book of life. And anything you're facing, God knows how you can get through it and out of it. We need to spend time with God seeking a plan. Can I hear amen? One time, me and Penny, and it was the only time in our 40 years soon to be married, that we had a situation that looked like our marriage may end. It's horrible. And this was after I had become a preacher and got saved and born again. Something came up in my past life that just caused a big problem. And it's a problem to me because I thought, Penny, you know, I'm not that man anymore. You know, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you know, I've been born again, and I'll never do nothing like that again. But the experience was now, because she didn't know nothing about it till then.
Right.
And so, I mean, it just become a a thorn in everything we try to do. I mean, I'd be upset because, you know, she was hurting. And I said, well, I'm sorry and all that stuff. But the pain was terrible. And, you know, we sought some of the high paid preachers to counsel us and couldn't even get nobody to, you know, we could get time, would give us any time. They wouldn't even do an appointment for us. I didn't want people in the church to know, so I called people, big time ministers you see on TV that are ready to help you. Call the offices, and none of them had time. Do you attend this church? No, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of a church. I need a pastor, somebody to counsel us. We did find one place. Didn't we? Did we go up there? Well, I went up there for something. That's another story anyway. Somebody went. Me and you went. What was that about? Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. God. Never mind. Lord, hell. Hey, come on now. You know I went up there, Chapel Hill. You do know about it. I don't know what it was about. I can't remember, but it was about something we got canceled. Yes, yeah, sir. Okay. Hallelujah. But I was right about trying to get somebody to help us. We couldn't find nobody. But then we got a plan. That's just the Holy Ghost just helped us. We sought the Lord. I mean, it was horrible. My wife lost down to weight, 30 pounds or more, depressed. And we'd be in services like this, and the Holy Ghost come on me. I call out of the service, come up and anoint her with oil and pray the demons and devils off her mind. But none of it was working. That was not God's plan for us. And she'd be submissive, and we'd cry, and we'd pray. We thought about, well, we begin to just write letters. Just write out your feelings to me, and I'll respond back. No, we just passed letters. It wasn't love letters to start. It was hurt letters. She'd send me a letter, and I'd read it, and I'd send her a letter. And we kept doing that. And all of a sudden, you know, the letters began to get a little better. And love started pouring out of those letters. And then we had a plan to hold hands like we did when we were dating. God, we've been married for years, holding hands. In the car, you know, driving around, holding hands. So we found ourselves holding hands in the car, driving with the kids in the back. Like we just got married. We kept holding hands. And after a while, I kind of liked that. It's pretty good. Then we thought about, you know, stopping at a stop sign, kissing. Anybody remember those days? Now you don't kiss anymore. But then I remember when you used to go parking, they had to run you and off, you and Sandra. Yeah, they don't run you off no more, right? I think y'all left church here one time, went somewhere in part, and they ran you off, didn't they? Telling a story. But that's good. That's wonderful. Thought about writing letters, holding hands, kissing at the stop signs. That was God's plan for our life. And I can tell you today, that's my friend. And nothing will ever separate us from our love. But that was the plan. We had a plan. Where did we get it? We just said, that's what we're going to do. We agreed on it. And we did it. Whatever was necessary. Penny Flat said, if you're going to keep me, you're going to have to court me again. So I had a choice. Do I court you or do I leave? Thank God I chose the right course. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I could have chose the other. I was a man enough to do it. But I couldn't. I was a born again believer. And I knew then, after I got born again, prior to that, oh yeah. But after I got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, there ain't no way. No way I'm going to lose my wife. I had a plan. You get a promise? Wow, I got a 4 or 5 more minutes. I'll never get through. You get a plan. Say, get a plan. Now, that might not work for you. But you'd be surprised. Start writing love letters to your wife. Put X's all over it. Send her some roses. I mean, that was the day roses, gifts, all that. Just like we were courting. Just like we were dating. You know, MM and PM sitting in the tree. KISSING. First comes love, second comes marriage. Here comes Michael pushing a baby carriage stuff. Y'all forgot about all that, didn't you? Go around, you got that thing there, PM up there, MM back there. That's what you might have to do. That's a plan to get peace in your marriage. You pray about it all you want to, and you have a promise, but what's your plan? You might have to do some kissing, some hugging, some asking forgiveness. Most of my letters were forgive me. Over and over and over and over. Not all of them. I had a rough time to start with. I'm a man. I'm a bull. But I had a plan. That's what God wants from you. What is your plan for your prosperity? What is it? Amen. See, God has a specific plan for your life. Three, and I close on this one. And I tell you what the fourth one is. The third thing that will get you through your breakthrough is a need for communication. Yeah. See, here it is. And I don't have time. Read Joshua 6 and 7. It said, and I'll just read it to you. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, and verse 7 said, and he said unto the people, after he had a promise and he had a plan, he communicated that to the people. Now here's what you got to do. See, your breakthrough, whether you believe it or not, if you're married, involves you, your husband, and your children. Amen. It's not just about a breakthrough for you. That's if it's financial. If it's a financial thing you believe in God for, you got to communicate some things. For instance, you can't take little Johnny down to Walmart. You trying to get out of debt and believe in God and let him fill your basket up with a lot of little Johnny things. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to communicate to little Johnny now. We got $5 today, little Johnny. And if you find something for $5, then you can put it in the bag. You can put it in the basket. But if it's over $5, I'm sorry. We got a plan, little Johnny. We're going to be out of debt soon. And so we're going to stay on this plan. You can't let mama run all over the place with all these shopping things and bags. And you trying to get debt free and come home if you haven't communicated to mama, we're on a budget. I know y'all shouted tonight. You shouted on the praise and worship, but you don't want to shout on the plan. Got to have a plan. You want to live healthy and have a good body. You got to have a plan on what to cook. You got to tell mama, this is what we're cooking in this house. Oh, you're going to have to eat out to lose your weight. You got to communicate. You can't just, God's going to work on my husband. God's going to work on my children. Or God's going to work on my wife. And God's going to work around everybody about me. And I'm just going to believe God to have a breakthrough. You've got to have a promise, a plan, and communicate that to all the people that's involved with your breakthrough. You got to sit down and have a powwow. Most men in this congregation, we're big, we're strong. We like to confront people, but when it comes to home, we don't like confrontation. We hide our head. Mama take care of it. And then when it gets all out of whack, we run in like Tarzan. Oh, I'll take care of it. We have no plan. We bunch of hot air. We go and run out the house. We don't communicate. I don't know what y'all wanted tonight, but you want a breakthrough? I wish I could shout it in you. I'd lock the doors right now and we'd holler till we couldn't, we'd scream till we couldn't have a voice to get you a breakthrough, but it won't work that way. Got to have a plan. Got to communicate it to everybody that's around you. Joshua communicated with the priest and with the people. Amen. You got to do something with little Johnny and little Sally. You might have to turn the cell phone off. Oh my, I tell you something, me and my wife have turned in cell phones before. Crying when it was leaving their hands, but could not pay the bill. And didn't have a cell phone for a long time. We had them big ones, you know them big ones out here? With them big old antennas, we were first to get everything. I had one, Penny had one, Chad had one, and Bethany had one. Can you imagine? That was pay by the minute. With no plans then, you had that phone, you played dearly for it. And they were teenagers, so we just, let's have a good time. The first bill was $900. You remember that, Mama? Do you remember? If you don't remember it, it's true. And we took them all back down to the store. And Bethany couldn't find hers. We had to it found it in one of the cars later on after we'd done turned all in and had to pay for it. We've drove, listen, believe it or not, you see Pastor Mike and BMWs and you see him all this glamour stuff he has. You don't know the 26 years that we drove cars that windows would not roll up in. So we wouldn't have car payments. I promised God 28 years ago I wouldn't have a car payment in my life. And I've stood with that. I wait till something happens. I drive what I got to drive. If you keep them up and change the oil and wash them, they'll last. The last BMW I had before I got this one, I had 434,000 miles on it. And sold it for $1,500. I changed the oil. I washed it like I wash my clothes. Just like that BMW sitting down there. Do you see it dirty? Do you look inside? You could eat in it. Take care of it. You got to communicate these things. You got to do some things you may not want to do in order to have a breakthrough. Especially if it's financial. You got to buckle your belt. It ain't going to just go away. You hoping somebody to give you $20,000. Possible. But I guarantee you, it'd be like this. You won't get it from God unless you got a plan working. If He's not going to give you $20,000 for you to squamble it. What is it? Squander it. I make up words. I got a dictionary. Squamble it. Whenever we go on the internet or TV or whatever, I'm going to have one of them things that go across right there that interpret in my English. He meant to say
the other word.
And or I might have Merritt's Dictionary, page 224, scramble. It means to throw it away. You got to have a plan. And last of all, you preached it. Number four is when you got the promise. What's the second one?
Plan.
Communicate it. And then do it. So many people, they're like a man with a gun that's cocked. They never fire the trigger. They got all the plans in the world. They got the promise. They got the plan. They communicated. They got all the charts, the graphs. They're like Brother Hagee. They got everything possible written down for their breakthrough. But they've never stepped out and do it. I got a budget, but I just haven't implemented it. You ain't going to get a breakthrough till you do. I'm believing for health and healing. I got a good diet to lose 30, 40 pounds. Now I talk about that because I'm on a diet. I need to lose. Pray for me. I got a wedding in 3 weeks. And my tuxedo is already bought, paid for. I had a long time and I can't get in it. So I'm on a diet. I've done well. I've lost 4 or 5 pounds almost in a week. Amen.
Amen.
Got to, if I'm going to lose the weight, I got to have a plan. I got to do something, right? Whatever's necessary. I'm telling you, this is a season to step out by faith and do it. Don't just cock your gun and blow a lot of wind around and shout and praise God and your kids see it and go home and never do nothing. It's time to get up and do it. Well, I preach myself a little happy. Let's stand. You take that, you'll see a breakthrough. Take one at a time. Find your promise, get it in your heart. Put a plan to it.